Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Don Allen Rico and Bob Corman, and this is Business Kids Academy. Welcome to our 30-minute kids entrepreneurial educational call, talking to parents and kids about an entrepreneurial mindset. Today we're learning and continuing our discussion about the 5 E's of business success, and Bob is our expert here. Welcome, Bob, to the show.
Well, thank you, Don. Glad to be here.
Okay. And if any of our guests are listening, they can call in to ask any questions at 646-668-8875. That's 646-668-8875. So, hey, Bob, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about some of the first principles of the business, or the empower and engage, or no, not engage, we're not there yet, empower and enable. And I just wanted to quote you, this is you, it says, dreams come true when you learn what it takes to make them happen. And you know, for so many years I've seen people spout off garbage about, you know, belief, just believing and then it'll come true. But see, the thing of it is, I don't think people know how to make things happen. Now, I agree that belief in a person that they can do it is essential, and that's kind of what we're talking about right now. But just believing and then doing nothing about it is not the way it gets done.
Well, you know, one of my things, Don, is intention without action is inaction. And inaction doesn't get you anywhere. So it's one thing to say, you know, I really have this, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to volunteer. It's one thing to say that, you know, and most things people say never happen. And I think when the training really starts, when people are young people, you know, we call them kids, we call them teenagers, we call them a lot of things, but they're young people. And the earlier, it's not to say that old people like us can't learn, because we can. And sometimes we learn from painful lessons, but when you teach young people early on, it has a lot better effect, and it carries through their schooling, and it carries through really every, you know, virtually every aspect, you know, of their life. And I think just to summarize a couple of things that we talked about last time was, you know, we talk about kids go to school to learn or be taught, but yet the number one teacher in a young person's life is a parent. You know, they are the teacher. You're teaching morals, you're teaching ethics, all kinds of things. And I think the other thing is about priority. It's easy to get distracted, you know, and, you know, your kid wants a, hey, can we play with this? And then you got a phone call going, you're making dinner. So there's a lot of things that can distract us. And I think in some cases, I think parents have to be very much attuned to the importance of that role, which is probably one of the most important roles that they'll ever have in their life. So it's kind of teaching, and it's kind of, and it's giving them a priority to, you know, in terms of their training.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in thinking about that, Bob, as a parent, a lot of times, you know, as in family situations, you know, we get these feelings of, we relax, I think. And then people who should be your best cheerleaders become your worst critics. And what happens is they you know, because of the familiarity and parents, you know, out there working hard and they get a little bit impatient with the kids and then they, you know, the kids, you know, they don't do something quite right because they're learning to do it. And a parent snaps at them and they forget that they're in a stage and that stage might take 20, you know, I mean, it might take 5 years to build their confidence, to help them through, to help them realize that they can do it. So, you know, that feeling of I can do it, that's fostered by the parent. And I think that's so very important that a parent realizes that, hey, if a kid makes a mistake, no big deal. You know, love them and teach them and keep on going.
But a lot of times, you know, the predominant time that they hear about it is when they're criticized. Don't touch that. You know, don't do that. I told you to put that away. So that you kind of, even though you're not doing it intentionally, but sometimes in a busy, stressed life, you know, you're building a profile of no. You know, don't do this. You're doing this wrong. And you know, I can't say you never do it, but it has to be balanced out, because I think, you know, confidence comes from, in my mind, confidence comes slowly. It comes over time, and it comes based achieving good things. So, for example, and I never really had this, you know, my parents loved me. My dad worked long hours. You know, my mom had her own things. So in a lot of ways, I raised myself, but, you know, but I had an ethic, for example, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, New York, at the time I did, you know, when I needed money, I used to go to Lincoln Terrace Park with a wagon, and I'd get the soda bottles, and I'd wash them out, and I'd take them back to 2 cents. So for some reason, you know, I kind of had an innate way of thinking about it, and I always was doing something to make money. And I never really had to, you know, depend on my parents, or I should say stress my parents, because I know that money was very tight when I was growing up. But I think that, you know, you have to be in building confidence. I think there's a few things that you need to look at. First of all, you know, skills for a young person emerge, and sometimes they don't even recognize certain skills. And I think parents have to be very attuned to what are the skills that my children are showing? What are they interested in? Where do they really seem to have their interest? And I think that, and so I know it takes a little planning, but it's always good to work with your young people with certain projects where they have to think through things. It's not just a simple, you know, grab that toy. You know, think through projects, and I think start to train them to knowing that when we want to do something, we have to think it through. And I think what we talked about last time, Don, was a sleepover. It doesn't sound like much, you know, well, your friends are going to come over for a sleepover, but, you know, let's plan through, you know, where's everybody going to sleep? Are they going to be here for dinner? Are they going to need snacks? What toys are we going to play with? I know it sounds very basic, but when young people start to understand how that makes the outcome better, and this is just one example, becomes a pattern. Yeah,
especially if you get them involved in it. I mean, if you just tell them that and it goes over the head, but give them assignments, give them, you know, little things, you know, you know, I mean, take them to the store to buy the snacks. Make them, you know, you start, you know, give them a budget. Give them a, you know, a budget. We're only going to spend $5, you know, or whatever it is, you know, there's more than just.
Exactly. But
yeah, there's a lot
what
of
you're
aspects.
Saying is exactly right. It's an exercise where think about television. Say, look, you know, we're going to watch some programs, but we can only, during the week, you know, we can only watch 1 hour a day or 2 hours a day. Give them, let them think through, okay, what do you really want to see? What do you want to see most? So it may not seem like much, but after a while with the budget, when they go shopping, after a while, they're going to start to think that way. When they want to do something, they're going to start to think about how do I best get this done? And I think that requires maybe a young person doing, you know, maybe parents have to sometimes do a little thinking about it. They have to set up exercises. I mean, you know, when I went to school, they had that. When I went to engineering school, it was, you know, we had exercises and we learned, you know, that we had to diagnose a problem. You know, we had to read about it. We had to diagnose. And so on a smaller scale, I think when young people get used to doing that, it becomes a pattern. And also, as a parent, you can understand what are some of their real skills? What do you have to cultivate?
So, sure. You know, there are other aspects too, Bob, I think. And all of this comes, you know, I mean, all these ideas are written down in your, and I'm just going out of volume one. I take bits and pieces out of volume one of The Ease of Business Success, which if the person is interested, you can find that at fiveeasebiz.com, fiveeasebiz.com. And one of those things, you know, the skill of knowing what to do, that's critical. Like we're talking about, you know, knowing that you got to do this, and this, and planning around it, making a budget. But motivation's important. You know, so there can be motivation in, you know, you got to have your room clean. Well, that helps mom. Mom wants the room clean. Well, if you're going to have somebody over, you got to help clean up. You know, if you're going to do this, you know, give them motivation throughout the week and be patient with that, you know. So.
Well, what you're doing in the kids, those kids, and I agree that, you know, what we have is probably in the 5E's more of a more senior level of person, maybe even, you know, in high school type, and probably stepping back, you have to do a little bit of what I would call for a parent like a pre-digestion of things. But and maybe that's something that we could do, Don. We can work on getting a version, you know, for younger people that actually lay out some exercises that they could do. But the confidence, you know, confidence is really important. But once you have the confidence, you have to start to get focus. And focus means, you know, focusing on your tasks at hand, whether it's homework or whether it's something else. And it's really getting a young person trained. Give them the confidence. You know, sometimes the attaboys are very nice. Oh, wow, that's really terrific. You know, and not just the bad stuff.
Right. So that they too can, instead of getting, you know, I mean, it seems like our world is programmed to point out the faults. You know, you did that wrong, you did this wrong, and they forget the fact that, hey, geez, it's not so bad if you tell people, hey, that's done right, or that looks good, you know. I mean, people love it. They'll and kids especially, you know, they'll eat it up when they're told that they're doing a good job. And I guess, you know, I think back as a parent, I may have been too harsh in some aspects, but as I look as a grandparent, you know, and I'm trying to be more patient and I don't get upset and I see how my son is doing. That was the way I was, you know. I mean, it took me 30 years to become a good parent or grandparent. But the same thing is if parents are listening and if parents is, you know, I mean, what does this all do when it comes right down to making a successful entrepreneur? Well, it helps them understand. It gives them inner motivation. It helps them create higher levels of performance. It helps them want to do. It helps them learn budgeting. It helps them learn, you know, different skills that they're going to be learning as they grow up. And all these things are definitely something that parents could and should be doing with their kids, whether they want to be entrepreneurs or not.
So I think, you know, I think as a good exercise, I think as a good exercise for parents, Don, would be to take one or two tasks that requires a little bit of interaction. Of course, you know, this depends on the age, you know, of the young person, you know, obviously, but take a few tasks and, you know, just kind of lay it out. And again, sleepover. I know a lot of young people have sleepovers. That's a very good for younger first people. That's a very good task. Or if you have friends over, rather than just, you know, well, what are we going to do? You know, maybe do some planning and plan activities, plan things, and to come up with a few tasks, which would be, you know, kind of age dependent, that they could work out. But then you have to come back and sit and discuss it with them. You can't just give them a task. You have to discuss it with them. You have to talk to them about why this, and point out, you know, just point things out to them. And again, that's the parent's role as a teacher. And you're teaching the young person to think for themselves, to work things out for themselves, and you're teaching young people, really, it's kind of like a pre-entrepreneurial stage where you can go and take something and build on it.
Absolutely. I agree. You know, I was just kind of looking through the empower section here, and, you know, there's key elements that you talk about in empower. And it says, first one, be a psychological change that needs to take place. And it says over time. And so, you know, there's no reason that parents can't start teaching kids at a very young level. You know, it says down here, too, one of the keys of empowerment is to gain insights into traits that serve you well and those that don't. Those are things that parents can pick up on, like you said and mentioned earlier. You know, they might be weak on one thing and strong on another. Parents need to help their kids start realizing where their strengths and weaknesses are, and then help them transform those into personality traits that will serve them well for the rest of their life. So if you look at, you know, some of the, so it says here, for example, some people are precise and focused on one task at a time, while others are multitaskers. You know, that might be something that as a parent can start teaching kids, either how to focus on one thing till they get it done, or if they're, or, you know, ADHD, and they can help them, you know, take two things at once and move it forward. But go ahead.
For example, Don, when you could, you know, sometimes young people have skills, but they don't recognize them as skills. And that's where parents have to come in and interact. And it's not a bad idea to keep a journal. It's not a bad idea to keep a journal about young people. For example, you know, when I was a kid, I just naturally took to coin collecting. And coin collecting to me didn't mean going out and spending money because I didn't have much money. But I used to go to the bank. I used to get, you know, a roll of pennies. And then I figured out, gee, I'm probably better off going to the subway system and getting pennies because, you know, people don't look through their change that they did in banks. And all of the mentions I could see now that I learned, it was coins. I had to research the coin. I had a book that said what the value was, how many of those coins were issued, learning about the fact that the coins that were issued, for example, during World War I were valuable. Not that I was alive during World War I, but, you know, the coins stay around for a while. And, like, understanding that the coins then, the reason that they were so valuable is because a lot of what they called the doughboys, you know, Americans went over to Europe, and sadly many didn't come back, but they brought coins there. I had to look at condition. You know, I had to evaluate what was the condition, you know, of the coin. So it even though I didn't think much of it, But I realized, and then, you know, later on when I was in electronics and engineering and things, you know, those are precise skills. And I was, and I generated, you know, had a lot of those precise skills. So you have to observe your young person, see what are the skills that we can build on, you know? Again, I didn't,
right.
if you had asked me at the time when I was, you know, maybe 9 years old, what kind of skills do you have? I don't know. I just go get pennies and I look at them. But in reality, yeah. I learned a lot when I think back. And there was a lot involved in coin collecting. Now, some people are, you know, some young people are musicians. They have musical talent. So I think it's,
yeah.
The parent has to see what those talents are and help guide them through that world.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that you think about that. Parents, they really have to be observant. That is so true. I remember that when I, as a young parent, my oldest boy was 15 years old, and somebody threw a guitar out in the dumpster, and he dove in the dumpster, fished it out, brought it home, fixed it up, and he started playing it. And you know, well, here I was thinking, here, no, son, you really need to learn to play the piano, you know. But the thing of it is in 6 months, he was playing guitar like crazy. And then he says, Dad, I want a bass guitar. No, you don't. You know, I mean, what do I know about what he wants? And I'm arguing with him. Well, we bought him a bass guitar for Christmas. But he became very, very good at musically. But, you know, in our household, we didn't have music. Just that wasn't something that I was brought up with, or my wife was brought up with, but he did, and he was very good at it. So you, as a parent, you've got to, you know, be aware of those things that they do.
Well, I mean, you gain so, in something like that. In something like that, though, and you're gaining two things. You're gaining a skill. You could see certain skills that he has, and also you're gaining confidence. That, my God. You know, you pick this out of the trash, and, you know, a few weeks later, he's playing songs. I mean, that's pretty amazing, certainly to me.
Yeah.
I never got past the $6 harmonica that my dad bought me. I never got past that musically.
Yeah. But, you know, that, like you say, though, is that kids are resilient, and they have the ability to, you know, to do things. They have the ability to, and that's their motivation. It was his motivation and not mine. So that's something they had to do. One more thing, Bob, before we go too far away, is values. Values, and I'm going to put in faith as well there, because they're important in any endeavor that a person chooses, you know, whether it's a community, family, or whatever value it is, or integrity.
Yep.
Well, parents have to set those values, and as well as, you know, the faith, whether it's principles of faith, you know, that teach them morality, or, you know, you know, it doesn't have to be religion and politics, but there's still some very good values that kids need to be taught. And I think those are something that parents really should think about. What's your thought about those two things?
My feeling is exactly that. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, my father, and I didn't understand all the implications of it, but he had a business, and he had to go out of business. And I remember my mom and he talking about, the lawyer said, you know, just declare bankruptcy and walk away. And he said, no. He said, these people that supplied me with things, you know, they trusted me, and I don't want to walk away with nothing. And he took two jobs to pay back. So for me, I saw a lot of examples, and I saw that when my grandparents got sick, my dad and some of his siblings would go over one night a week to stay with them. And, you know, so really I observed, and fortunately I feel I absorbed that lesson of integrity and honesty. But to me, you know, right now, today in the world, you know, you see a lot of things that aren't that way. But one thing that I could proudly say is that even though I've gone through life, and it's not that I haven't made mistakes, but when I was in business, and it took me a long time, but we did make a success of it, I had the opportunity to take bribes or give bribes, and I knew people in my business were doing it. But, you know, at one point I sat down with my partner and I said, you know, if I've got to pay bribes to be successful in this business, then, it's the wrong business. So
right.
I think integrity is something you can't, you know, you can't always say that if you're honest, you're going to do better. I feel in the long run you will, but it's just something about what's right. And you talk about faith, and I think faith carries a lot of things. And, you know, and I think faith to me, it's part of it is just doing the right thing. And you could do it based on a religious belief. You could do it based on a cultural belief. But my feeling is that, you know, those are the kind of values that you want to teach a young person. And sometimes it's not always easy when you feel you've lost out. Like when I walked out of a customer and knew that I lost a job because somebody had taken this buyer's son and given him a job or had fixed his house. That's a tough lesson. But yet, despite that, we still pursued it. And I still have that ethic. So ethics is something that you can't necessarily say that you're going to do better that way, even though I feel you will. I feel over time you will. But it's just something you have to feel that it's the right thing to do. And, you know, you're going to come back and you're going to live your life based on integrity. I just think it's an important
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are very important things that are taught right there in the home, right there when the kids are young,
yep.
taught to respect others' properties. You know, that's, I think, one of the things that we lack nowadays is respect, you know. People
mm-hmm.
don't respect other people's opinions. They,
mm-hmm.
it's all about being right and self-justified and what's in it for them. And that's a huge thing that needs to be taught to youngsters as well. And that all has its input on being a successful entrepreneur. That's so paramount in doing that.
Because
Bob, we got about 2 minutes left.
Because eventually in business, reputation will catch up to you. And I know people that have bad reputations, in the long run, they wind up, you know, they wind up losing. But yeah, well,
yeah.
You have the 2 minutes. Again, I think the key is, I think one of the keys would be, I kind of have two words, success and planning. And I think to set young people up, and again, it could be, you know, earlier or a little bit later, I think when you work with them to plan something and they see how that planning brought them to success, I think it adds confidence, it adds skills and everything. So I think, you know, I think the planning aspect, when you're putting this together, it doesn't have to be super complicated, and showing how you had a successful outcome. I think those are two things that when they go hand in hand, I think you've gone a long way to creating habits and creating a very successful young person who eventually can see tasks required for entrepreneurship and say, you know, I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Hey, Bob, thanks for being with us this afternoon. Or those of you who are on the recorded call, this is Don Allen Rico and Bob Corman with Business Kids Academy. Make your day great and keep on dreaming. Bye for now.
Okay, thank you, Don.
Business Kids Academy is a production of Q Ford Productions, copyright 2019, Sabre Mountain Incorporated, all rights reserved.